Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The human needs in any great city are almost unimaginable. As believers, we're called to pray for the cities we live in. And today, you'll hear strategies to effectively do just that. Stay tuned. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a five-part series on prayer that makes a difference. Now, join us as Pastor Lutzer concludes a message on praying for our city.
And what Jesus said is that our responsibility is to preach the word and understand that through the truth, people are going to be set free because Satan is a liar and the father of lies. And therefore, through prayer and the proclamation of the gospel, light begins to break upon the human soul and people begin to understand the truth of Christ and they are freed. And that's the way it happens. But you know, it only happens through prayer, and prayer must be continuous prayer, not just on Wednesday evenings, though thank God we're having an excellent time at that prayer focus on Wednesday evenings. And we encourage others of you who are serious about prayer to join us. The number of people is beginning to grow. But it's not just on Wednesday evening. I'd like to make a suggestion. Would you this next week, whenever you walk a street here in the city, would you pray for that street? If you're walking down Michigan Avenue, pray for the merchants. If you're along Lakeshore Drive, pray for all of the people who live in those condominiums who live there. You may be living there yourself, and we thank God for all those who live in this area and are Christ's representatives wherever he has called them. But you begin to say, I'm going to pray for this street. I'm going to begin to pray for this apartment building. I pray for my office, and in the name of Christ, I pray that it shall be freed so that people are able to at least listen to the gospel without the interference of the God of this world who wants to blind their minds, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Prayer continuously. Pray as you drive your car. Pray as you walk. All of us praying continuously for the city. Prayer that is continuous and corporate, that involves as many people as we possibly can, and not only Moody Church, but other churches in this community that preach the gospel of Christ, who stand with us in praying for this great city. Prayer that is combat praying. As I've mentioned in this series of messages on prayer, my stated goal is to increase the number of combat prayers. We already have many here in the church. But people who are willing to stand against Satan, who will no longer accept his word and his intimidation. You see, we're intimidated by the city. One day Joshua was walking around the city of Jericho. 40 years earlier, they could have taken the city, but they were in the desert for 40 years because they had been intimidated by the giants and the high walls. Isn't it interesting that later on, when they go in 40 years later and the spies talk to Rahab the prostitute, what does she say? She says, our hearts have been terrified for 40 years because of we heard of all the miracles that your God has been doing. We have been scared. Our hearts melt for fear. And God has removed our protection from us. And we've been wondering, what in the world have you Jews been doing in the desert for 40 years? That's a Lutzerian translation, but that's basically what she says. Did you catch the phrase, God removed the protection of Jericho from Israel's enemies? You see, Satan wants to hide behind the things we have mentioned: crime, religion, drugs, immorality, misdirected pluralism. He hides behind all those things. And what it says is that God removed the protection of the enemy, and the walls collapsed, and there he was, exposed, so that then Israel could walk in and take care of him and capture a city for God. You know what our big problem is? It is so much easier for us to see giants and walls than it is for us to see God. You see, that's why some of you perhaps have no vision for your office. spiritual vision. It's because you say, well, the people here aren't interested. You have to understand that everybody's doing their own thing. And don't you understand that the evil in the human heart and the greed is so great that there's no way that God could do anything? Oh, really? What God are we talking about? Are you telling me that God is greater than the human heart? Are you telling me that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can't do anything in your condominium? That's what you're telling me? Is that why we pray such small prayers? We like to pray very safe prayers because we wouldn't like to get out on a limb where we might be asking God for something that's beyond what we could normally expect. So we say, oh God, I pray that the sun will rise in the morning. It's safe, it's comfortable. And then when the sun rises, we can say, ah, there it is again. Oh, the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God. My dear friend, today I want you to lift your vision as I ask God to lift mine and to say, why can't we, under the hand of God, begin to make a much bigger dent in the work of Satan in the city of Chicago than we are doing? Why cannot we see people converted from darkness into light? Why is it that we must capitulate and accede and simply say, well, let Satan have it because times are tough and he's got lots of power and God sometimes doesn't answer the way we think that he should, true though that may be. And so what we're doing is our unbelief is perpetuating the darkness. I'm praying today that God will raise up hundreds of people in this church who will pray for the city of Chicago continuously and consistently and with big, huge, faith-filled prayers. Because I want you to know that there is no wall, no matter how deeply it has been anchored. There is no wall with a foundation that is deep enough. There is no wall that is so high, but that God cannot remove the protection of the enemy so that people can hear the gospel and be saved. God is greater than all of our fears, our insecurities, and our unbelief. He's greater than that. You know, we, of course, as you all know, stand with a tremendous heritage behind us. Many years ago, D.L. Moody, of course, was born in Northfield, Massachusetts. Then he came to the city of Chicago. He was converted at Mount Vernon Baptist Church there in Massachusetts. And you remember when Kimball led him to Christ, you probably know the story of how he visited him where he was selling shoes and Moody made a profession of faith. But he didn't pass his membership exam because he was asked about his faith in Christ and he gave an answer that was too unclear. By the way, that's an encouragement for 67 people, I believe it is, who I'm now teaching in a new membership class, some of whom are going to be interviewed next week by the executive committee. If you don't do well, that's okay. You've got a great history behind you. Moody didn't do too well either. But later on, he was admitted into the church, and he came here to Chicago and began a Sunday school. Then the church eventually was begun in 1864 with 12 charter members. Moody never was the pastor of that church, by the way. He was only a deacon. He spent most of his time in Great Britain after that, making three trips abroad. While he was there, a man by the name of Varley, was it William Varley? I think so, said to him, D.L. Moody, I want to tell you that the world has yet to see what God can do through a man that is totally yielded to him. Moody said that when he came across the ocean, it seemed as if the very boards of that ship shouted those words at him. He said that when he walked the streets in Boston and Chicago, it was as if the words were painted on the sidewalk. The world has yet to see what God can do through a man that is totally yielded to him. Later on, D.L. Moody said, by God's grace, I will be that man. And we stand today with that heritage behind us. But I want to take D.L. Moody's words and paraphrase them just a little bit. Folks, I believe that the world has yet to see what a church can do and what God will do through a church that is totally yielded to him. The city of Chicago has not yet seen what a church can do that is totally yielded to him. Do you say with me today, Pastor Lutzer, by the grace of God, let's be that church. Let's be that church. Let's put away sin from us. Let's put away the unbelief that causes us to think so small. Let's take the visitors that come Sunday by Sunday and befriend them so that they will understand how desperately we need them to help us. And let us step out and begin to get involved and yield ourselves to the work here to which God has called us so that financially, and by the way, the giving at Moody Church in the 10 years I've been here is always great, but you know, there are so many things that we want to do, and finances always get in the way, or more accurately, the lack of them get in the way. And we don't like to say much about it. But you know, there are some of you here who could give generously to help us. We've got some projects we'd like to do, but we can't do them because of that budget that is always there. But you know that we need people who pray even more than we need people to give. We need people to serve. We need people to say, by God's grace, we will be that church. What do you see when you see Chicago? An opportunity for financial advancement? An opportunity to go to school, as many of you students are doing? I was in a couple of cabs this week. Spoke to the cab drivers. They saw Chicago as an opportunity to hustle and another much-needed buck, and we all need to live. But sometimes I want to say to myself, let's look beyond that cab driver. Let's look beyond the taxi. Let's look beyond the office building. Let us see God. Let us see God. Let us take on the enemies that Chicago has. Let us think big, and let us pray until we begin to see men and women freed up, to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ and respond in faith to a believing message. I want you to know we need you to do what we believe God has called us to do in this city. But I want to tell you also that above all, we need people who are willing to pray. And then go and be the presence that God will use to make a dent in Satan's territory. Well, my friend, I ended this message by stressing the need for us to connect with one another, to pray for each other, to become a part of a body of believers that is actually making a difference. We depend totally upon the gifts and the prayers of God's people. If you've never connected with us, or if you would like to regularly connect, support this ministry, pray for this ministry, here's what you can do. You can go to offerrtw.com, that's offerrtw.com, and when you're there, click on the Endurance Partner button. It'll give you information as to how you can indeed join the Running to Win family. Or you can call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Thanks in advance for your partnership.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Praying for Our City, the third in a 5-part series on prayer that makes a difference. Next time, our vision expands further as we learn about praying for the world. Prayer that makes a difference can be yours on CD. All 5 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.